Joel chapter 2 and verse 25. He said, I will restore unto you, I will restore unto you the years that the canker worm, the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar, palmer worm, my great army that I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. To be satisfied means you come to a state where you cannot conceive life as better than what you are experiencing. Do you understand this? He said, you will be satisfied. Some people feel that, you know, somewhere, you know, I might never be able to arrive at that place where I'm completely satisfied and at peace with my life. He says, you will be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. So the time you may have been lost to you, but that time has not been lost to God. Now, but what's the issue here in experiencing this restoration? If we quickly turn to Isaiah 42, we'll say this. Isaiah 42 from verse 18. Hear ye deaf and look ye blind that you may see. Who is blind but my servant and as deaf as my messenger that I have sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect and blind as his Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but thou observeth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law, make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are snared in holes, all of them. They are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth. For a spoil, and no one is saying restore. In other words, nobody is crying out to God, asking God, all right, to restore, which means that there is a need. So people almost have adjusted to life, you know, in captivity there. It says nobody is saying out there. So in order for God to be able to do something, you need to ask him. That is very important. God won't come into our lives and into our space, right, to carry out anything that might be his will if we don't deliberately ask him from a point like Jesus said he cried unto him that was able to save him from death. So he says you need to ask, you need to pray and ask him to restore. Right? God wants to bring order out of the chaos that you have been living in. He wants to restore unto you your dominion authority, by enabling you to be fruitful and to subdue all things. Just imagine how strong a person will be who has come out of difficult situations, right? Doesn't have the badge of a victim, but has the trophy of being victorious. Someone that's emerged from what will have destroyed other people. Right, things in the past, and he has emerged whole and complete. As Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the flames with no evidence in their lives that they had been through such hard stuff, no traumas. Let God come into the fire of your experiences. And this is what I want to say this morning, all right, as the message. The same way those guys went through, what was the secret behind them going through such a terrible situation? There's a secret here. And coming out, and there was nothing. In fact, many of the things we just do religiously in terms of superiority, condemning other people, is just bruises manifesting themselves. All right? Lack of compassion coming out of people. Judgmental attitude, right? These things are stemming from places that are not healed. Because if you have gotten healed of everything and you've seen changes in your behavioral pattern that came as a result of wounds that you had in the past and you got healed, if you see somebody behaving in a certain way, you have compassion. You won't be judgmental. Anybody that is judgmental, right, operating as a Pharisee with a sense of superiority, looking down on other people. Look, my friend, I hate that thing. All right? I hate that thing. Right? When you look down, you criticize other people, it's because the person on the inside, it still has their own issues that are unresolved. That's why Jesus said, you that are pointing, before you take the speck out, anybody that points has a mote in his own eye. Paul said, you that judges another, you are guilty of the same thing. Anything you are judging in somebody else is operating in you. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, of course, let me just give an example. If a man is physically abusive, that's a dangerous situation. But we are not without compassion that maybe he came from a home where it was completely broken and all of that. But the woman is in a dangerous situation. Are you following what I'm saying here? So she has to be taken out of a dangerous situation first. Not that we're angry with the man, as in we are condemning him, but we have to first of all salvage. Do you understand what I'm saying? But then understand that it doesn't mean that that man inside his heart doesn't love that woman. It doesn't mean that if you put 20 women and say, okay, relieve your life and now go, you have a choice to take you back 20 years, choose who you will marry, is that same woman he will go and choose. I remember once I had somebody who was with his wife and we were going to go through a divorce, and I went to meet somebody who was a pastor then. He told me, he said, it cannot happen. I said, why? He said, this guy he could have married anybody in the church at that time. He said, he chose that woman. He said, it can't happen. He said, he chose that person. He said, look, he said, no. Now, it did happen. But he couldn't, so it wasn't as though it was coming from a place, or it was coming probably from, you know, and all of that. In fact, what now happened at the end was that, because I also had another friend who married from the family, of a woman that's not, now, a friend married a sister, another friend's sister married the brother. When I realized what happened, because everybody in the family just was beaten. If the women were verbally abusive, the men were physically abusive. I mean, this man took his scissors, put his wife down because he had medical background, and said, this is the nerve I'm going to go for. You'll be paralyzed. He said, I'm just about to go for it. Do you know the mother had to come and apologize to the parents and say, look, I, when you married us, I wanted to tell you one part of me. But this is how his father, which means this abusive thing is inside them. So you can't look at that person and say, how can you do that thing? What am I going to do? You know, because I don't do it. Because you didn't come from such brokenness. Are you understand what I'm saying? So you need to invite. This is where we're getting to. Let God come into the fire of your experiences. What distinguished those boys there was that when they looked, and they were, that's why there was no trauma. When they looked, all right, they saw four men. The Son of Man was there. Jesus was in the flames with them. So when they came out of it, right, there was no trace. They were loosed right there. So this morning, what I'm saying is that you need to invite God into that area. Now, it's an area where nobody has gone. Nobody. It's a place that you probably might have kept away, you suppressed, you did all of that, rationalized. You played victim, but it's still there. And God says, in order for there to be wholeness, I need to enter into the flames with you. You can't be in it alone. If you invite me into that place and I step into the place, it becomes holy ground. And the healing process will begin from that place and you'll come into wholeness. And you say to God, listen, but God, what I'm saying is that how do I invite you? You know, God says, what you needed to do is that I inhabit the praises of my people. I want you to enter into my gates with thanksgiving. Are you saying, I should thank you for this thing and start praising you. And God says, yes. We say, but you are not the one that brought. Say, yes, I didn't bring it. The enemy might have brought this thing upon you. But when you start thanking me for it, what you are saying is, step in and use it for your glory. Do you understand what I'm saying? When they came to Joseph, Joseph said to his brothers, you meant it for evil. It wasn't God. You meant it for evil, which means you did me evil. But God came in and took the cards that you dealt me and he played it for good. So he wasn't the one that inspired them to throw Joseph into the pit. But Joseph, you will see throughout, God was with him. In other words, Joseph was conscious of the presence of God and found the presence of God there. All right? And so he allowed God to come in and to make meaning of that particular, all that. And so God says, I want to step into it. I didn't bring it, but I want to now use it for a particular purpose, which means I want to take the ashes and bring beauty out of it. I want to take the things that you are mourning about, all right? And I want to bring the oil of joy out of it. I want to use it. Let's look at what Paul did in his own issue. So let God come into the fire of your experiences. His love and compassion will transform your anger, sense of injustice, and the loss of identity. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is what the church generally has not, we don't enter into. So people just have those things. Nobody knows, all right, what to do. And the scars, all right, of the past things or present things are there. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. It says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. And what's a thorn? The messenger of Satan, which means if somebody is a messenger of somebody, it is that person that sends him on errands. Do you understand this? So the thorn in the flesh was a spirit that was sent on an errand by Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. So Paul went to God in prayer three times and asked God, remove this thing out of my life. Remove this thing out of my life. Remove this thing out of my life. God says, no. I can remove it out of your life because I'm God. But that will be deliverance, not the better resurrection. I have said in my word that he will bruise your heel, you will bruise his head. For Satan to be defeated, I'm not just going to take it away. I'm going to shame him by taking what he has dealt and turning it around for good. Do you understand what I'm saying? Which means that I'm going to use those very things and bring something out of it that will completely heal you of that thing. And I'm going somewhere. And Satan will sit down and say, look, had we known, we would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Understand what I'm saying. Jesus himself prayed thrice that let this cup pass over me, which means he didn't want to enter it. God said, look, go into this thing. He says, from it, I'm going to raise out it. And there are many things that, and this is a mistake we make, you know, once we get into the flames and get into the fire there, we believe, oh, where's God? Where's God? God, you shouldn't have allowed this to happen. It has happened. So the only thing now is that you say, well, God, you come into this particular place with me, and here, I'm going to take this and give you thanks for this. I'm not giving you thanks for it in the sense that this is the end of it, but I'm giving you thanks for it because it is from this place you're going to bring stuff out. Do you get what we're saying here? So I'm thanking you for what will come out, for you using this very thing, all right, to produce something. So I'm thanking you for this particular thing. And this is so deep. It's only you and God that can operate in this space, because this is what David did. After the first child with Bathsheba died there, And David went into that place and communed. And the other people came and said, why are you not mourning? Your child is there. Why are you not mourning? And you, instead of mourning, you know, there seems to be, you are praising, you are rejoicing. We don't understand what is going on here. And out came out of that particular situation there was such that what emerged out of the situation in that particular place was Solomon. Solomon came out of it to the extent that this is so private, so deep, that David couldn't share it. You can never teach a sermon on it. You cannot. How do you teach a sermon? How? Listen to me. How? Let me give you an example. Somebody loses a loved one. A spouse dies. He goes into it and praises. And then you ask me this. Let me ask you for that. The Bible says the glory of the latter is better than the former. Answer now. Huh? Okay. He goes there and a new relationship comes out and they remarry. Can that person ever testify? Ever open their mouth and say this new relationship is better than the... Can you? Try it. Can a person ever come and say, I just want to testify. There's no testimony. They will not go near that place. So what I'm telling you is that there are some private stuff God will do you can't tell any man. These are areas between you. Are you following what I'm saying here? And God. Somebody says I was abused as a child. Something comes out of that. That you can't come out and just freely say that. They'll say, so what are you saying? Are you saying that abuse? Is that what you're trying to say? David, tell us, are you saying we should now, as a testimony, go and look for another man's wife? Take the wife, kill him in order for Solomon to be born into her life? Is that what you're saying? You will run into trouble. Are you following what I'm saying here? You are going into an area that is between you and God alone. Which means that these things are too deep for you as a person to even utter. These things are beyond. It is holy. This is where God told Moses, said, look, Moses, you are standing on holy ground. You are going into an area where you will just be whole. Maybe on few occasions. So God says this. Look at what God told Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul now said, most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. I take pleasure now in persecution, in distress, not in promotion. Do you get what we're saying here? Not in fullness. He said in persecution, in reproaches, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. So energy is never destroyed. It's changed. The form changes. What has happened cannot, you will always remember. It's just that the form of the thing will change. Which means when you come to Joseph, Joseph said, how can I? There's no thought of any animosity. A person got sacked, betrayed. God has changed it so much that he has such a glorious business that he looks at his colleagues that are still there. And his memory, he sees his boss and he's happy that, look, thank you for sacking me. Are you following what I'm saying here? That pain has disappeared. All right, the boss is still trying to say, well, you know, he said, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, I know. It's good. I needed to be sacked. I was still dependent on my job there. The sack was good for me. He remembers the sting has been removed from the situation. So you bring God into those areas, all right, and go in there. I mean, there are some things. I was going to get to guilt. If somebody was cooking and forgot about it, went to do something, a child went in there, hit the oil poured on the child. How does that person get out of guilt? Tell me. You see somebody you have scarred for life. How do you, tell me how you rationalize yourself out of guilt? How do you do it? A surgical operation must happen in the consciousness of the person. Something has to happen inside that person's consciousness there to change it to something else. And that's what God is saying, that inside, just saying inside the covenant, right, this provision is there. which means you enter into the holiest of all and you are changed. And when what happens also is that something else now comes out of that situation, right, that begins to bring about growth, increase. And the person looks at it and knows that, right, from the weakness there. The same with Jesus, if they never crucified him as a person, right? I mean, we just look at it as a beating. I mean, with all the ministry of Jesus, he was rejected by the Jews. A rejection enough. Are you following what I'm saying? God said they rejected him. Even the Jews, that they rejected him, right? So from there, okay, comes something. Let me just close. Let's just read 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So this is what you need to start doing. The areas there, you go there and just allow God to do a surgical operation there. Okay? I'm saying, well, the cards that life dealt me were not the right cards. Like I said once, somebody said, when I went to get my cards, life dealt somebody else who were playing on the same field, dealt the other person fantastic cards. Dealt them, all right? Barcelona, Arsenal, Bayern Munich, Manchester United. When life will deal my own, I shoot you star, Ayimba. All right, Canopilas. How do I play in life with Canopilas, Ayimba, 3C, when somebody else is dropping Barcelona? God says, if you thank me for those cards, then I will play shooting and you will see something. Rangers. All right, Ayimba, and watch what will happen. The others might be playing Barcelona. My strength shall be made perfect in your weakness. Do you understand this? But this is the ground between you and God. We don't want to know. Nobody wants to know what your issues are. Just carry the issues. So let's call for counseling. So nobody wants to know. That is the nakedness of a person should only be before his maker. The soul should only be made naked, all right, before the maker, where the maker himself now produces something out of it. 1 Corinthians 15 here, and I close it. It says, verse 49, as we have borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither can corruption inherit incorruption. It says it's not possible. But it says, behold, I will show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, which means from the corruptible, incorruption comes out. All right? From what seemed sinful, righteousness came out. And this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? Are you following this? O grave, where is your what? Victory. Which means you've gone into those places and life has come out of it. And he says, with the sound of the trumpet, which means the trumpet there of praise, he says, I will take corruption and I will change it to incorruption. I will take mortality and I will change it, right, to immortality. The reason why Jesus could tell people when they came to accuse the woman that he that is without sin, he knew everybody was wounded, and if he didn't heal you, you have your own issues. He says, start casting stone. And I believe he started writing the sins of the people one by one. So he wrote something. Don't look at that spicy quickly. He wrote another one. Say, yeah, that's written my own. One by one, he said, was writing their sins. He that is without these sins, and was writing, let him do what? Cast. And when he described what had happened in detail, I'm sure people say, before they come to my home, let's go. He's writing about this man. I told you we shouldn't have come. Let's go. He's writing people's thoughts. Let's go. Before my friend I came with, he writes that he that cheated in the business they did and you kept from this business when you sold the thing together, and they described the business. Hey! So you mean you told me? All right. People got up and left. All right. So if, okay, people, and I think when people are praying for people, right, if people are married and you see your married spouse behaving funny, and instead of you praying dangerous prayers, you get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Angry prayers, all right? He's in faith with what you are, and you know, okay? I mean, you're saying you're in faith. If you pray for healing of unknown wounds, you might resolve issues faster. That whatever is in this person's life that is brewing this stuff out, Lord, I ask you to heal this person of this thing. All right. Instead of saying that, why? Okay. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. I pray for every single person under the sound of my voice, that by your spirit, you will do a surgical operation inside our hearts. And you'll go into deep places that nobody knows about. And there, you will open up and pour the balm of Gilead. And as people lift up their hands in worship and in praise, you will enter into the broken places and heal every single place. Change the countenance of people. Restore right images of dominion, authority, power, and presence. Fill the heart with compassion. Reintroduce people back into society, that they will enter into the networks that you have ordained from the foundation of this world for them to get blessed. That fear will disappear from their heart, and they'll be able to go into life with boldness and in fullness. In Jesus' name, amen.